Samuel 14, sorry about that, Kevin. 1 Samuel chapter 14, and a couple things. Some of you, like one or two of you, are like, what happened to the offering? It's coming later. Most of you are glad for the extra time. All right. A couple things. So God has called us to be in community with Him, but He's called us to be in community with one another. And we took a moment at this table to connect with God. To say, God, our faith and our trust is in Jesus and His death and His resurrection, and we want to be in a relationship with You, God. He's called us to a relationship with Him, but He's also called us into a relationship with one another. So fall is quickly approaching, and that means that we're entering a new ministry season here at Venice Church, and that means that our small groups are cranking back up. Many, if not all of our small groups have taken a break for the summer and they're getting ready to crank back up. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about small groups. We're going to talk about these relationships that we're called to have with other Christ followers. We're going to talk about the importance of having quality relationships with other Christ followers. And our goal is to get everybody that has been in a small group back in their group or in a new group. And for any of you that have never tried one of our small groups, our goal is to get you to try one. Our goal is to get you to join one and just try it for a few weeks and see if you like it. So if you don't know what small groups are all about, I hope to give you some context today. Hang in there for the next couple weeks. It'll all become clear. And we're going to begin with this amazing promise that Jesus made to us. It's recorded in Matthew 18:20. Jesus said, "Where two or three gather together as My followers, I am there among them." Whenever two or three gather, whenever two or three Christ followers gather together, I will meet with them, I will be with them. Jesus says, "I will show up." And the words of Jesus there provide the important premise for small groups. See, Jesus is not just present on Sunday mornings when we gather in this building for this service. Jesus is not just present on Sunday mornings when we stand and sit in rows and worship corporately. No, He says, whenever two or three meet together, I'll be there. Jesus shows up and meets with us when we meet in these small groups, in these circles. When two or three or 10 or 12 of us gather together, Jesus is there with us. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is not present with you when you're alone, because the Scripture's clear. It teaches that God never leaves us hanging. God will never leave us or forsake us. But over and over and over again in the Scripture, we see that there's power when believers gather together. And Jesus says, if two or three of you will gather together, I will meet with you there. I will be with you. So every time that we meet in this gathering, Jesus is present. And every time that we gather in groups, two or three together or more, Jesus is there. And listen, there's something special and something dynamic about Christ followers coming together in community. Now, today we're going to talk about the importance of the relationships that are formed in a small group in these smaller gatherings of Christ followers. Now, if you hang around Venice Church for any length of time, if you've been around Venice Church for any length of time, you will hear us talk a lot about small groups. We're always going to be saying, go to a small group, get in a small group, join a small group, because it's one of our core values. See, because we believe that circles are better than rows. Real community happens better in circles, in small groups of believers, than it does in rows. So we're going to keep encouraging you to get in small groups. Now, for some of you, the term small group, you know, makes complete sense. You have context. Some of you may need some context, so here's a definition. A small group is a group of people that commit to do life together. It's a group of people that agree to do life together. They agree that they'll study the Bible together, and that they'll pray for one another, and that they'll support and encourage one another. And this is what I believe. I believe that there is tremendous potential in each one of you. I believe that there's tremendous power in each one of you. I mean, there's a future marriage in some of you that will honor and glorify God. And it will literally, you know, set off a chain of events that will produce generations of productive and powerful men and women in the kingdom of God. There's a marriage in some of you. There's a ministry in some of you. There's a ministry in some of you that will have an impact in this community. And it might even impact the entire world. And there may be a business in some of you that will bring change to the community for God's glory. Hey, there may be a book inside some of you. See, I believe that there's greatness in this room. There's potential and power and productivity in this room. But there may be one thing missing. You may be missing the right relationships in your life. There's tremendous power and tremendous potential in this room, but we may be missing the right relationships. In fact, this is true. You will never do all that God wants you to do without the right people around you. You will never fulfill your potential in Christ without the right people around you. You will never do all that God wants you to do unless you have the right people around you. You cannot be all that God wants you to be. And some of you would say, but Craig, I have Jesus. Isn't that enough? You know, when it comes to the security of your eternal soul, Jesus is enough. When it comes to where you're going to spend eternity, Jesus is enough because, as we talk, Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sins, and then he rose again. When it comes to your eternal soul, Jesus is enough. Jesus is all you need. But when you look in the scripture, you see over and over and over again that God uses his people to accomplish his purposes. He uses his people to bring about his purposes. And if God's going to fulfill his purpose in you, then he needs to get the right people around you. See, there's power in the family of God, and there's power in a community of believers. You see it from the very beginning. Way back in the very beginning, God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. We talked about that in our series, Adam and Eve. We talked about it. It's not good for man to be alone, so God created Eve. And why did God create woman for man? So that she could find his car keys and then tell him how to drive. There's a reason the voice navigational system in your car is a woman's voice. Hello. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived, and he said two are better than one, because if one falls, the other is there to help the other up. We need people around us. We need the right people around us. And see, the right people will take you in the right direction, and the wrong people will take you in the wrong direction. Right people, right direction. Wrong people, wrong direction. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote this in a letter that he wrote to a church in Corinth. He said, bad company corrupts good character. In other words, you could be on the right path, you could be going the right way, but if you start hanging around with the wrong people, they'll drag you down. Bad company corrupts good character. Maybe you want to think about it this way, and this is something that we've talked about before, but I think we need to talk about this again. What are the five most dominant voices in your life? Who has the most influence on your life? What are the five most dominant voices in your life? Who are your five closest friends? Who do you spend the most time with? See, if you want to know your potential, then look at the five most dominant voices in your life. Those friends, those voices, they will determine the trajectory of your life. I mean, some of you work around people that hate their job, hate the boss, hate the company. They're probably capping your potential in that business. They're putting a cap on your professional life. On the other hand, you may work with five people who love their job and do their job to honor their boss and to honor God. And they're gonna take you to new heights. There's potential there. There's promotions to be had. There's money to be made. And you know what? You might even make a difference in the world through your job. If you're married, think about your marriage. Think about your five closest married friends. What are their marriages like? Are they honoring and pursuing their spouse? Is there mutual respect and good communication in the marriage? Does he respect his wife when he's out with the fellas? Does she respect her husband when she's out with her girls? Is there love for Christ and others in the marriage? Is there goodness and godliness in the marriage? See, those voices and those examples, they speak into your life and they speak into your marriage. Think about your relationship with God. Are your friends that are Christ followers encouraging? Is the Bible and prayer a priority for them? Do they have a community of believers where they belong? Are they using their gifts and talents, abilities and resources for God and for His church? See, there's potential and power in you. And you show me the five dominant voices in your life, and I can tell you where you're headed. And this is why this is so important. When the right people meet for the right reasons, God is there and the right things happen. When the right people meet for the right reasons, God is there and the right things happen. Where two or three gather together in His name, He is there among them. When the right people gather for the right reasons, God is there and the right things happen. So I want to talk to you today about the power of heart and soul relationships. And I believe with all of my heart that these relationships are forged in a small group, in a circle, a community of believers. And we're going to see this story in 1 Samuel 14, if you have your Bible turned there, 1 Samuel 14. And we're going to see a model for what relationships can be. And let me just set this up while you're getting there. There's three major players in the story. There is Saul. He's the king of Israel. And there is his son Jonathan, who's the heir to the throne of Israel. And there is Jonathan's armor bearer. Okay, three main characters. All right? And here's what's going on. This nation to the west, this nation of Philistia, the Philistines to their west, they're in a struggle. They're in a conflict with them. They're at war with them. And these Philistines, they're kind of getting the best of the Israelites. They're kind of kicking Israel's butt pretty good. And just for the record, Israel good guys, Philistines bad guys, okay? So the bad guys are getting the best of the good guys. And the Israelites, the good guys, they're hiding in caves. They're on the run. They're literally on the run. They're running scared. And Jonathan, the king's son, he's like, this has got to stop. We need to do something to stem this tide. We've got to do something to turn this around. All right, so check this out. 1 Samuel 14, verse 1. One day Jonathan said to his armor bearer, by the way, an armor bearer was like your right-hand man, your bodyguard. Everywhere Jonathan went, his armor bearer went. If they were having dinner, armor bearer's having dinner. If they're fighting a battle, armor bearer's right there fighting the battle with him. All right, right-hand man. He says, come on, let's go over to where the Philistines had their outpost. But Jonathan did not tell his father what he was doing. See, Jonathan and Saul didn't have a good relationship. The relationship was fractured. Jonathan's like, we're getting our butt kicked, and we need to do something to stem this tide. And so let's go over there, and let's attack them. Let's ambush them. But I'm not going to tell my dad, the king, the commander-in-chief, about any of this, the general. I'm not going to tell him about any of this. And he won't tell him because they have a bad relationship. Their relationship was fractured. And maybe you have a relationship like that. I mean, maybe somebody that should have been a dominant voice in your life was not. See, Saul should have been a dominant voice in Jonathan's life, but he wasn't because the relationship was fractured. And maybe you have a relationship like that. I mean, maybe your father died when you were young, and you missed out on that dominant voice in your life. Or maybe he just wasn't there. Maybe he was, you know, wasn't emotionally present. So that relationship was fractured. You were missing that dominant voice in your life. Maybe you have another relationship like that. Maybe it's with your mom. It might be with your spouse. It may be with a close friend. There's some things that need to be said, but they're just not being said because the relationship's fractured. Maybe a friend, you know, they should have been there supporting you, and they weren't there to support you. And you missed out on something. You missed a dominant voice. You were missing something that should have been a significant voice in your life. Jonathan was missing something, and he decided, things got to change, and they're going to change today. Today might as well be the day. I'm tired of where I am. I'm tired of where we are. I'm not going to stay where I am, and I'm not going to sit by and watch us get our butts kicked. I'm going to do something. And, you know, for some of you, today will be the day when you'll say, you know what, I'm not staying the same. I'm going to do something different. I mean, beginning today, you're going to intentionally seek the right relationships because there's voices missing in your life. There's relationships missing in your life. By the way, the right relationships don't come about by accident. We have to be intentional. And today you're going to decide, I'm going to begin making the investment and making the sacrifice and carving out the time and making the commitment to have the right relationships. See, because when the right people gather for the right reasons, God is there and the right things happen. Now, as we go through this story, I'm going to give you a couple things to write down, because this is what the right people will do for you. Number one, the right people help me navigate obstacles and temptations. The right people in your life will help you navigate obstacles and temptations. We need the right people in our lives. Jump down to verse 4. Verse 4. Now, to reach the Philistine outpost, Jonathan had to go down between two rocky cliffs that were called Bozez and Senna. So Jonathan is going to this Philistine outpost. He's going to like to their headquarters, and he has to navigate through this pass. And there's two rocky cliffs that make up this pass. One cliff is called Bozez, and check this out. Bozez means slippery. And the other cliff is called Senna, and Senna means thorny. So Jonathan's not between a rock and a hard place. He's between a slippery rock and a thorny place. Probably not much better. And what an amazing picture of life. On our journey with God, as we follow Jesus, there will be many times that we find ourselves trying to navigate the slippery slopes of temptation and the thorny obstacles of our spiritual battle. And if you don't have the right people in your life, it's easy to slip and fall on the slippery cliff of temptation. If you don't have the right people in your life, it's easy to get caught and entangled in the thorny obstacles that we encounter as we try to follow Jesus. Without the right people in our lives, it's so easy to slip up when we're tempted. It's so easy for us to get caught in a situation that we never intended to get in. It's easy to allow pride or greed or lust to cause our feet to slip right out from under us. Without the right people in our lives, it's easy to get caught in the obstacles, the realities of life that can be thorny. And listen, I know that you know that there are challenges in life. There are obstacles in life. There are obstacles to this life of faith that we're trying to live. And we need the right people around us to help us navigate through those obstacles. Listen, we need somebody with wisdom. We need somebody who's been there before. We need someone just to care when we're hurting. We need someone to listen. We need somebody to cry with us. That brings us to another truth. Number two, the right people encourage me when my faith is wavering. The right people will encourage you when your faith is wavering. Now, I don't know if it's true of you, but it's true of me. Sometimes I have really strong faith, but sometimes my faith, not so strong. Jonathan was struggling with this. Look at verse 6. He says, let's go across to the outpost of those pagans. He said this to his armor, let's go across to the outpost of the pagans. Come on, let's go over there. Let's attack them. Let's do this. And look at what Jonathan says. Perhaps the Lord will help us. For nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle whether he has many warriors or only a few. I mean, perhaps the Lord will help us. It sounds like Jonathan's faith is wavering just a bit. Maybe God will help us. I mean, like nothing can hinder the Lord, right? Like he doesn't even need a big army, right? Perhaps. See, there's faith and there's uncertainty. And I have moments like this. I have moments like this when I try to lead this church. God is leading us to do this, I think. And see, then I have to have the right people around me so that we can go where God wants to lead us. I have to have the right people around me. Sometimes you need the right people around you to encourage you in your faith. You need the right people to help you move forward with what God has put on your heart. Because you do. You have a vision or you have a dream, but you don't have the courage to act because you need the right people to stand with you. And check this out, because we do. We need to get this imprinted on our hearts. We have to have the right people, but who are the right people? Well, the right people are with me heart and soul. The right people are with me heart and soul. The right spiritual influences are with you completely. They are with you heart and soul. We're not talking about Facebook friends. We're not talking about Twitter friends. Let's do life together 140 characters at a time. We're not talking about Snapchat friends. See, you didn't think your old preacher knew about that stuff, did you? I got kids that keep me informed. We're talking about people that are in your life full time, heart and soul, completely. See, Jonathan wanted to go. He thought they should go. But Jonathan was unsure, and his faith was wavering. And I love what the armor bearer said. Look at verse 7. Do what you think is best. I'm with you completely, whatever you decide. I'm with you completely. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you no matter what you decide. If we stay, I'm with you. If we go, I'm with you. Whatever God puts on your heart, I'm there. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. When your faith wavers, I'll encourage you. When you do stupid junk, I'll correct you. When you believe that God has spoken, I'll confirm it. When you don't know what to do, I'll try to advise you. I'll be your sounding board. When you pray, I'll pray with you. I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you completely. Whatever you decide, I'm with you. And see, listen, there's something about agreement that touches the heart of God. That's why Jesus said what he said. Where two or three gather together in my name, I'll be with them. There's something about agreement that touches the heart of God. His armor bearer said, I'm there completely, heart and soul. See, we need some heart and soul people in our lives. When you go through a tragedy, you need some heart and soul people. When one of your kids messes up, you don't need some religious, judgmental, self-righteous church person. You don't need somebody to question your parenting. You don't need somebody like Job's friends to say, oh, dude, there must be sin in your life or your kids wouldn't have done that. No, you need somebody that's with you heart and soul. You need somebody that's with you completely. You need somebody that's with you completely that will have your back. You need somebody to pray with you and give you loving and godly counsel and just love you through it. Listen, if God forbid your marriage gets dicey, your marriage gets difficult, you need some friends that will not take sides and divide. You need some heart and soul friends that will be for you and for your marriage. You need some heart and soul friends to love you and stick with you and support you. See, if you don't have the right people, your potential is limited. And I'm standing here this morning as a living, breathing example to life in a small group. About this time last year, our church began to go through some difficult times. And I was at the center of this difficulty, and I was, you know, part of the problem, and I was part of, you know, the difficulty. And Amy and I have been in ministry for 25 years. It was without doubt, the last 12 months without doubt have been the most difficult year of our life. And let me tell you something. It's because I thought some people with me heart and soul were with me completely, and they were not. But I have a small group. I'm still here this morning because the men in my group prayed for me, loved me, served me, supported me, and encouraged me. And I'm able to stand here today because those men said, look, if this is what God has put on your heart, let's do this. If this is what God has put on your heart, we're with you completely. We're with you heart and soul. And when push came to shove, they had my back. They were with me heart and soul. And you know what? Amy would tell you the exact same thing about the women in her group. I'm only here today because of the men that are in my group. The fact. We need some friends that would be like Ruth in the Bible that would say, you know, wherever you go, I'll go. I'll be your people. Your people will be my people. Nothing will separate us but death. Heart and soul, completely. And let me be blunt. Some of you don't have the strength to make it. You're sinking. You're sinking. Your spiritual life is flat. There's tension and pressure in your marriage. Your children are heading the wrong direction. You need some heart and soul people to come alongside of you. Look, we're not going to take the time to check them out, but 38 times in the New Testament, the Scripture tells us to do something for one another. Love one another, give honor to one another, be devoted to one another, accept one another, be kind to one another, be there completely, heart and soul. We got to have some people like that. Let me say it this way. The small group is the purest form of the church. It's where you know and are known. It's where you love and are loved. It's where you serve and are served. It's where you encourage and are encouraged. It's where you pray for others and they pray for you. It's the purest form of the church. Now, this is what I hear. I don't have time for that. I don't have time to be in a small group, to which I always ask, who does? Who does? You have to make time to have the right people in your life. And when the right people gather for the right reasons, God shows up and he does the right things. Listen, life is difficult. Following Jesus is difficult. You need the right people around you. What are the five most influential voices in your life? Who's speaking into your life? Who are the right people keeping you headed the right way? When the right people gather for the right reasons, God shows up and the right things happen. Would you pray with me? I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then I'm going to ask you to take a moment to fill out a response card, and we need some information from you today. And so let's pray, and then I'll give you some instructions. Father God, we're amazed, again, that you sent Jesus to save us. But beyond that, you've instituted this place, this church, this thing that we call church, where we can do life together, where we can love one another, where we can support one another, where we can encourage one another. And Father, I pray that you would put on each one of our hearts today the importance of the right relationships. I pray that you would put in each one of us, Father, the desire to make the change today, to make sure that we have the right people speaking into our lives so that we can be effective in our walk with you, so that we can follow you to your honor and glory. And Father, each one of us is at a different place. Each one of us is at a different spot in life. So Father, work in each one of us by your Spirit in this moment. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're really glad you guys are here today, and hope that you are enjoying the service. And would you just do this one favor today, fill out a response card. You can grab one right from the pew in front of you, and in a moment the offering basket's going to come by. And if you're in a small group right now, and you're going back to your small group, would you write on your card today, I'm going back, and then tell me who your small group leader is? Okay, just write, I'm going back, and tell me who your small group leader is. And if you haven't been in a small group and you would like more information about small groups, just check that box right there that says adult small groups, and then give me your email address, and I'll email you this week with some more information. And then next Sunday at the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to just like go and join one of these huddles, one of these circles, all right? So we want so desperately for each person to be in a group so that you can grow to your full potential in Christ, all right? So if you just take a moment and fill that out, we'd appreciate it. Drop it in the offering basket when it comes by. And then if you have offering to get ready, you could do that right now as well. Let's pray. Let's ask God's blessing on the offering. Father God, we're thankful for all the ways that you bless us, and we're thankful that we have a chance to honor you with the resources that you bless us with. And Father, we pray now that as we give, that you would be honored and glorified, and we pray your richest blessing on everyone that's giving. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.